sir.
Thank you so much for having me back.
For those who may not have heard our prior conversations, remind us, what is Accuracy in Media? Who are you and what do you do?
Sure. We're a nonprofit organization, and we use hidden camera investigative journalism and cultural activism to hold bad public policy actors accountable. It is a target-rich environment.
You certainly know no lack of business for you, and when you've been on the program before, you've stirred things up with regard to some Iowa school districts, etc., but I know lately you have been studying news coverage. And this is interesting how the formerly mainstream media has kind of twisted things. I mean, we've got a debate in Milwaukee tonight with some Republicans. How is this going to be covered, and how have Republican candidates been covered generally?
Well, of course, it's dramatically different from how they cover the Democratic candidates. Imagine if Vivek was a Democrat. We would be hearing this inspiring story of a second-generation immigrant who became a successful entrepreneur and overcame oppression. Instead, because he's a Republican, we hear that he's an evil guy who made his money in hedge funds. You know, imagine if Tim Scott or Nikki Haley had D's next to their names. We'd be hearing, again, stories about minorities. Women are somehow a minority, even though they make up a majority of the population. Overcoming adversity, succeeding. We would hear about the wonderful diversity and inclusivity on the debate stage. Instead, we're just going to hear out-of-context snippets that they choose, trying to pigeonhole these people as far-right radicals.
Now, folks listening on KXEL right now are not going to challenge a thing you said. They're going to nod their heads in agreement. So if we know this, what's the danger of it? In other words, this audience knows that it's a rigged game. So is that feeling well enough known, or are there enough people in society now who still just take the three major networks and just repeat everything they say, if you will?
Well, this isn't the media landscape of 30 years ago or even 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. No news outlet really in the big mainstream media tries to go after a broad audience. They try to go after instead a specific fragment of the audience. So ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, New York Times, they know they've got a left-wing audience, and they're going to tell those people what they want to hear regardless of whether or not it's actually true. So afterwards, you'll hear people who heard one version of the debate, and you'll hear people who heard another version of the debate because they actually watched it, but it creates a culture in a society where we're basically watching two versions of reality play out in front of us.
It used to be, and I'm going back long ago, the media had bias. I'm going back to colonial times. And the newspaper was called the Republican or the, you know, I mean, whatever. And you knew what you were getting, but the public would consume multiple sources of media and then each individual would distill it for themselves. We got away from that with the advent of broadcasting and government licensing of stations, and most of the 20th century was an impartial media, at least that was the thought. But now folks, frankly, are too lazy to do anything other than seek out a single source, and that's not a good thing.
Well, you make such a great point because, as you said, papers like the Tallahassee Democrat catered specifically to an audience. But to their credit, they were upfront about it.
Yeah.
It was in the title.
Yes.
You don't see that now. These folks pretend to be objective. And instead, what we have is a modern version of yellow journalism. You know, in the late 19th and early 20th century, you would have newspaper boys who were out there hawking newspapers with the most salacious headlines in order to get a nickel to sell a paper.
Adam Gallett of Accuracy in Media rejoins us. Call drop. Sorry about that. Don't know what happened, but I think it's probably the folks who don't like that you're telling the truth and they just cut you off. That's probably what it is. But when we lost the call, I was asking you a very long question about, okay, if in fact there is the bias out there, how do you get folks who either are somewhat lazy about their consumption of information or who don't know about the overt bias, how do you get them to pay attention and seek out other sources?
That's a great point, and it's incredibly difficult to do. I wish I had an easy answer for you. You know, whenever possible, if I'm sharing content with my friends, I try to make it a short video or a short audio clip, as opposed to the tendency to be like, well, read these 10 pages of a policy paper about X, and then you'll understand why I feel that way. People aren't looking for a homework assignment. They're not going to do that, so a short little clip is best. And if they want to come back for more, great. And you can give them more, but bring them in with just a small amount initially. And at the same time, we should do the same things ourselves. We should always be seeking out opposing viewpoints to challenge what we believe, hear what the other side thinks, and understand where they're coming from. At the very least, it'll strengthen our own beliefs.
Adam Glenn, Accuracy in Media, aim.org is the website. And when you go to that website, you see a whole variety of things on the main page, much of it, as just mentioned, examples via video, especially with many of their investigations over the course of time. Are you even surprised by some of the egregious actions these days? I mean, in other words, you've studied it. You've worked for other organizations that have been on top of this. This is not your first day. But do you even look at it and start shaking your head saying, I cannot believe that I'm actually seeing this?
You know, the only stuff that really shocks me is what they're doing with young people. You have these outlets like Now This, which built their following with clickbait puppy videos before pivoting and starting to put out far-left news for millions of young people. Now This has multiple C-level executives from the DNC, the Hillary Clinton campaign, the Stacey Abrams campaign. They don't even hide it. And then on social media, you have talent management companies like Palette Management, which are openly being paid by the Democratic National Committee to propagandize to young people. So they bring on these young, hip influencers to push Joe Biden propaganda to teenagers and tweens. The fact that they're so open about their desire to propagandize young children, that shocks me.
When you show those clips to friends or whatever, you say, just take a look at this. Do they give you a look like, oh, come on now, you doctored this? I mean, do they believe what they see is the short of it?
Well, you know, we see that with a lot of our hidden camera investigative journalism.
Yeah.
People don't want to believe something that challenges their views. So when you show it to them on video in long form clips like our investigative videos, they say, well, that's out of context. So then you give them the whole entire video, which is boring because it's, you know, 40 minutes. And, you know, only a small amount of it is actually interesting. But you give them the whole thing as proof. And they still say, well, that's just one person. People can't be convinced of something that they don't already know. It's very difficult to do that if it goes against their worldview. They just don't want to accept that they were wrong and have made wrong decisions. And that's not just the other side. I think that's something innate in human nature.
No, there was a study some years ago that said that if you put a bumper sticker on your car for a political candidate, you were going to support that candidate to the nth degree, no matter what they did, because you didn't want to face your neighbors and have to answer the question of why they saw you in your driveway scraping off the bumper sticker. But when you were on with us, you had some hidden camera stuff in Iowa with regard to critical race theory still being practiced in schools. A lot of other states, you've done the same sort of thing. Essentially, these are public school administrators who are thumbing their nose at state laws that say you can't promulgate this trash, and then they're gleeful in the hidden camera conversations sharing how they get around it. I mean, talk about arrogance. These stun me every time I look at them, and you've got some from North Carolina on your site now at aim.org. This is just shocking stuff, how arrogant they are.
That's exactly right. These folks are true believers. Their religion, of course, is government or Marxism, and they believe that they're doing students a favor by breaking the law and deceiving parents in order to push radical ideas. And admittedly, to your point about how, or to the previous point about how people don't want to be convinced of something that they don't already believe, oftentimes when we release this kind of content in very conservative states like Texas, and show that these laws banning critical race theory aren't worth the paper they're printed on, Republicans don't want to hear it because they don't want to believe that Greg Abbott's law didn't get the job done. They don't want to believe that Greg Abbott, you know, was maybe just pandering to them in order to, you know, get their votes and pass the critical race theory law that he probably knew was unenforceable. They don't want to believe those things. So it's funnily enough that we see in some states like Tennessee or Texas that the right doesn't want to acknowledge what we've captured on video because it would force them to admit that maybe their politicians pander to them rather than actually solving problems.
Wow, now that alone is staggering, isn't it? You've got those on the left who are fighting the pieces of legislation. You've got those on the right who don't want to see that it didn't work because they're going to then have to admit a failure. Boy, gives us no confidence in our elected officials these days, does it?
Well, for me, I always judge elected officials based on their actions, not based on their words. The good people and the bad people. You know, there's the famous line that people say, well, Donald Trump out of the White House and we've got crazy inflation and crazy taxes, I could go for some mean tweets right about now, is what they say, because, they think even though his personality was terrible, they loved his policies. I think our side has the tendency to get caught up in the fun personality and to desire to own the libs more than we actually care about advancing policy at times. And I think it's incredibly important, and this is really relevant for the debate tonight, to remember that politicians will say what they think we want to hear. Judge them all, the good ones and the bad ones, based on their actions, not based on their words.
It sort of reminded me when you just said that of a football player who looks like they have an easy touchdown and they start hot-dogging it or high-stepping it, and then they wind up getting tackled from behind or drop the ball before they cross the goal line. I mean, they care more about the show than the score, and that's just what you're talking about right there. They care more about scoring points than they do actually affecting good policy.
That's right, and that's very common with politicians. And now, I am definitely a skeptic towards politicians, but again, I don't really care about the players as much as I care about the results. The example I often love giving is the final 6 years of the Obama administration, where federal spending grew at the lowest level since Coolidge. Now, this wasn't because Obama was a secret fiscal hawk, but because we had the sequester and we had divided government. Now, plenty of bad things and my opinion as a small government guy, plenty of bad things occurred in those final 6 years, but federal spending did stay flat. And then, of course, subsequently, Trump became the president and did a lot of things that I liked, but also dramatically increased federal spending, especially in that final year. Mm. And it's hard for our side, for any side, to accept that, well, maybe the guy I like in some things isn't necessarily doing great on other things.
Well, none of them are wearing a cape with a big S on their chest either. We need to understand that. Adam Gallette of Accuracy in Media, AIM.org is the website. Always a privilege to talk to you, sir. Keep up the excellent work that you folks do, and we'll talk again soon. Adam Gallette of Accuracy in Media, and he joined us live on News Talk 1540 KXEL, where Iowa comes to talk.